Welcome to the Order of Time. Today, I would like to talk about jealousy. Jealousy is a character trait in which one desires something that others have. One wants to be that somebody else, if one is envious. One wants to have what others have, when one is jealous. And this is a serious problem for the world culture. There are different types of jealousy, though. Jealousy means that we foster a desire, that we suffer want. We want to be complete. We miss it and we see it somewhere else, and then we aspire that. We want to have that. On itself, this is not bad. On itself, it is not bad to desire what others have. But there's two sides to this. There's constructive jealousy, like being jealous with God. You want to acquire the capacity of God to cover the complete, to know it all, to be the Lord and Master of the universe. On itself, that would not be bad if we would understand that God is total cooperation with everyone. So this jealousy is two-sided. There is constructive jealousy, which means that we suffer something, a lack of something, and we desire that something. But we cannot put ourselves into the place of that other, at the cost of that other. So as soon as it goes at the cost of the other, we are in trouble. Therefore, in the name of God, we speak of freedom from desire, freedom from an ulterior motive. From God, one should ask nothing but His love. You want His love, because His love covers the entirety of the creation. But in negative jealousy, we do not desire that love of His. We desire His opulence. We desire His intelligence, His knowledge. We desire His power. We desire His riches. We desire His fame. We even desire His renunciation. We desire His beauty. These are opulences. The fullness of God. If we want this, we just want a part of God. You want the beauty, not realizing that the beauty is a means. You want the knowledge, not realizing that knowledge is a means. You want the power, but you do not realize that power is just a means to an end. So, in the negative mode, we desire the means, not realizing what the service of that means, of those means, would be. We have to serve a purpose. That's why we have knowledge. That's why we have power and money. That's why we are famous, because we serve a certain purpose. The purpose to be served is the vision, the love of God, the soul that covers all, knows all, and is constant, is stable. It is not wavering. It is there always, just like your innermost self. And that vision of the complete, that vision of God, that is the purpose of it all. That is why we have these opulences. That is why there is beauty, to realize the complete of God, to realize the harmony of God as differentiated, as different between the inner beauty and the outer beauty. And the beauty of God is known in many facets, and this is something that we keep in mind to be motivated, just like having a car and you drive for your office. So we shouldn't be confused about means and ends with God. But jealousy is complex. Jealousy is a kind of wrong meditation on God. You want the means, but there are different aspects of this meditation on God which can be beneficial or destructive. So let's go deeper into this being good and being bad with our meditation on God. If we consider God in his impersonal aspect, then we realize we can even be jealous with the sun and the moon. The sun is shining, is warming everyone, and we also want to be shining and warming, and thus we burn fuel. But in fact, we try to copy that sun. We are more or less jealous with the sun, and this is jealousy at an impersonal level. We desire heat, and we generate heat just like the sun does. But this is jealousy, because the sun is the original source of energy, and all we should learn to know is to convert this energy, to conduct this energy into electricity, into something constructive. Yeah? Because if we copy the sun, we realize this is a destructive process. Yeah? We have fossil fuel or even bio-alcohol these days, bioethanol, and we burn that because we see the sun burning. And we say, okay, burning gives energy. So we burn and we have energy. We have heat. And then we derive from that heat. We drive an engine with it or even have power plants to generate electricity with that heat. But this is a destructive process because we do not derive from that original father of the sun and conduct that energy into a constructive use. The way we use energy at the moment in the world is a destructive way of which one could say that this is a form of jealousy at the impersonal level. The same is true for time. We deal with time the same way. We see time ruling the universe, and we say, okay, we can do that also. So we have our own clocks and order of time, because we learned that from nature. Time rules everything, so everyone in power rules the time, because that's the way the universe works. Yeah. You should have the order of time, but it's the same as with the sun. You are jealous with the fire, with a combustion engine, not properly conducting the energy there is from the sun. You do the same so with time. You see time, but you do not conduct that time into the patterns that are there of nature. No, you take the time and you have your own pattern to it. Yeah, you combust it, you destroy it, the natural pattern you destroy, And then the feeling of energy you get therefrom, you call your power, you call your control. But in fact, it is no control at all. You are out of control, out of the control of nature, of natural time, the time that tells matter how to move. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they all move directed by the force field of the ether to become cyclic. Matter is directed by the force field of the universe to be cyclic. And this cyclic time is an order which we should follow if we want to be in control, in that control, if we want to be devotees of that original Godhead of the ether and the time. Then we have to respect the things as they are of nature. If we do not do so, we are out of control. This is destructive jealousy. We do not respect the original order as it is. No, we make a false copy, a bad copy of that original order. And then we take pride in it. There are more bad qualities apart from jealousy. You also have pride and greed. Knowing that you are wrong in your original sin, changing the original structure of the authority of God, of the power of God, of the knowledge and the riches of God, in your jealousy you make a bad copy. Because you're not a devotee, you do not submit to that authority, whether the church says it or whether a sign says it. You don't copy that. You say, well, that's too difficult for me. I make an easier copy. I do it better than God. God is too complicated. The nature is too complicated. We make an easier God, a God that is more graceful. This is a better God. I'm a better God than God. And that's, of course, ridiculous. That is a practice of doom and destruction. So we should simply follow the natural order of things. We should see the energy there is of the sun and conduct that energy so we are not destructive but constructive. We simply conduct it into a proper use without destroying anything. An electric car is emissionless, but a combustion car pollutes the air because it is destructive. It destroys something. You are combusting something. The same way it is with time. You see the time of nature and you follow just like plants and animals, all natural creatures, they watch the clock of God, the sun and the moon and the stars, the way they move, that is their life, that is their clockwork. And why would they need another clock but the sun? Why would they need another week order but the order of the moon? But we human beings say, oh, that's too difficult. The days are not regular, so we have a mean day. That is too difficult. The moon is then 7 days and then 8 days before we can call it a change to a date line. And that is not regular, so we cut it in seven, while the moon is... not exactly 7 days for a lunar phase. It is not that way. So we are destructive in that jealousy. We are jealous with God. We want that power of God. We want that order of God. We want the love of God. We want all the opulence of God. We desire that. And we take pride in it when we realize that we do things wrong, that we are wronging the universe. We are making a false copy, and in that is the destructive nature found of our jealousy. First, we are jealous, then we make a mistake, and then we take pride in that mistake. And in that pride, we are left with a feeling of hunger, which is not rational anymore, not reasonable anymore. And then we have this constant desire that feeds our greed. Then we think we are only happy if we possess more, if we rule more, if we are the only one to rule. And thus we have conflicts in society, because we have all kinds of greed, because having this hunger, this hunger is killing us. This hunger can only be alleviated when we go back on our footsteps and conclude that original ardor has been neglected, and that is the reason why we are hungry. So being hungry is feeding us greed. If we do not realize that this hunger is the sign that we have to go to the station to tank gas, like with the car, or not to tank gas, but better to load the battery of the electric car. And so we should, from this hunger, from this desire we have, from this desire to rule the world, we should learn to return to the original source, that we should be positively jealous with God. We see God is all beauty in nature. God is all powerful. He rules the whole entire universe with his order. So if we want to live that love, we simply have to respect that love. If destructive jealousy also wants that love, but wants it easy. It doesn't want to be of all the trouble of leaping the day and leaping the week, because that's what we neglect, for instance, with the time. We don't want to go through all the trouble of conducting solar energy into electric cars. No, we want to have it easy. We want to we want it by nuclear plants, which gives an enormous problem, because that is a depletable source. It is a limited source. There is an end. At a certain point, also the supply of uranium, radioactive material, will be depleted. So that is just the same as with oil. It runs out. You have to go to a sustainable energy source. We know this, and we have to do this. Otherwise, we destroy ourselves with this jealousy. So jealousy is destructive or constructive. You desire God as he is and as you should be, and then we are on the right track. Then we face the trouble of having the respect that is complete. Then we do not only leap. Then we do not only leap the year and the month, but we also leap the day and the week. But there's more about jealousy than jealous with the natural elements, to be jealous at the impersonal level of time and of solar energy. We are also jealous at the level of the principles. We realize that if we want to be of God, if we want to be happy, if we want to be of a stable culture, if we want to be really human, we have to submit to these rules, the commandments of God. So we take these rules, and we say you have to be truthful. You have to be peaceful. You have to be of penance. You have to celebrate the Sunday and forsake the profit motive, at least at one day a week. We say we have we need to be as celibates, even married. Once the love making is over, you have to be a celibate person again. All marriages should be founded on celibacy. Because you cannot treat each other like a sex object. That is degrading, and sex is there for procreation. That is what religion says. And that is a rational approach to something which is difficult to control. And then we know, we can't control ourselves, we are sinners, and therefore we have to pray to God. Because we are not capable of following these directions, because we are not truthful with the time, for instance, because we can't control our desire to make love, because we cannot manage the subliminal energy. We cannot have that energy subliminal, to say it better. When the sexual energy is not going down, the energy goes up. The seed goes to the brain, and that inner drive is supposed to be the drive of us people to be good cultured people. When we can't make children, we write books and we sing songs. And this is a conversion of sexual energy we call sublimation. The sublimation is founded on the celibate principle. You don't let the energy out any other way but through this subliminal channel at different levels, at the level of the heart, at the level of the throat, at the level of the brain. And like the Hindus say, you have these energy levels or chakras in your body. And the higher the level, the better and the more sophisticated the control. But that's how it is with the celibate order. If you say, well, you can't just enjoy sex as you want it because you cannot degrade each other into animals or sex objects. You are human beings and you can only have sex on mutual consent. And as soon as you feel abused, which can happen if the link between sex and its natural function is broken, when sex has become a cultural thing of adaptation, a repressive force which is in denial of that subliminal culture, which says, okay, it's not about having sex, it's about being a good human being, being of a proper cultivation. Yeah? You have to cultivate this energy into proper patterns that answer to the values of goodness, to the values of harmony, to the values of beauty, to all these opulences of God that lead to this vision of God, this vision of the complete. But failing in that subliminal energy management, in that sublimation, you become an ego who has difficulty of confessing to the fault. You cannot confess to the fault. You have a psychology of denial and repression. You don't see the fault with yourself, you see it with others. When you fail with that repression, as a fallen soul, as a failure of love, sexual love doesn't work, the subliminal love doesn't work. So what is left? What would work? Nothing works anymore. You are a fallen soul. So as a fallen soul, not capable of accepting the celibacy, not living the children's soul, as Jesus told us, be a child, which means be innocent, do not be concerned about having sex or not. When nature says, no, we have enough children, the woman refuses, I have to take care of the children, I have a headache, I'm not your sex object, help yourself or whatever, don't bother me. And then you help yourself and you feel miserable because love, out of its context of love, is no love but lust. So love needs to be shared, otherwise what is it? It is a kind of selfhood, and selfhood is miserable. So you feel miserable if you do it with yourself. If you leave it to nature, a natural flow, a natural emission, during the night, you may also feel abused by the night queen, because you still desired it, you still reflected this kind of disorder during your dream. You still continue with that weakness in your dreams. So you never properly believed in that cultural order. That's why you have these dreams of your natural freedom of having sex with whatever women you want in your dreams. So this is no solution. You simply have to accept that if you can't have children anymore because you made them already or because circumstances do not permit you to make children because you, for whatever reason, cannot have a wife, or you are motivated for different things because the problems are too big to you need to engage all your energy to deal with problems, like humanity now facing these ecological problems, yeah, we will have big problems, and we must simply finish this messing up the planet, this fucking up the planet. We really fucked it. We fucked it up. And you can call this fucking love, but in the end, all this lust proves to be bitter. And the Bhagavad Gita, the Indian scripture, says, in the beginning, this love seems to be easy, seems to be nice, seems to be sweet. But in the end, the chaos is the result, and misery gives you this bitter taste. So sweet in the beginning, bitter in the end. That is what the sage Vyasadeva says in the Bhagavad Gita, discussing this subject of what love would be. This other love, this love of God, is the love that faces you with all kinds of trouble. You have to leap the day, you have to leap the week. This is troublesome. If you do so, you are a misfit with a society that doesn't do so, and you don't want to be a dropout, you don't want to be a misfit. So there's all kinds of trouble. But you have to face the facts. You cannot any longer deny the original authority of the nature. You cannot be jealous anymore. You have to give it up. You cannot accuse others anymore. You cannot say, we Christians will rule the world, and the Muslims are all possessed by the devil. Because you borrowed their argument. They say the same of you. It is the religiousness itself which is not free from this jealousy. You can pray to God and you can follow the commandments of God, but still be jealous and still be destructive because you don't want to face the trouble of respecting the original order, of respecting the original rules. Also, because you speak the truth, but you do not act to the truth. You say it is 5 o'clock, but the clock is not truthful to the sun. You say, okay, God gave us this world, so we gave us oil, so we may burn oil. But God also gave you solar energy. God also gave you the responsibility to take properly care of this planet. So what is proper care? Sometimes we learn it the hard way because we didn't listen. We were adults, but did we really listen? Did we really obey to this original command of answering to the natural order to begin with? That was the first jealousy. But the second jealousy is just as bad. We develop ego in denial of that cultural child that we need to have. This cultural child is difficult. It's more difficult to make, like writing a book or singing a song. To have sex is easy, because it's natural, you don't think, and you just do so, and you have a child. But a book needs to be... you have to do it all by hand, so to speak. A child is born automatically, but a book is a tedious job. So the website we offer, it took us years to have it of some quality, and we're still wrestling to keep it in proper order, because it's a dynamic thing. If you change one thing, everything else is... has to change too, more or less. If you change one page, then all links to that page have to be revised too. So everybody knows that a website is not a book. It's a dynamic phenomenon, and it needs to be constantly upgraded and managed. So this is the second type of jealousy. This jealousy is... is fivefold, though. There's first the jealousy with the elementary, and then you have the jealousy with the principle of the soul, which makes you an adamant, egotistical person in denial of the weakness, seeing enemies everywhere else. And thus, can it happen that we as religious people do not tolerate other religious people while we share the same interest of religion? But religion is an old school. It's the old school of Jesus. It's the old school of Muhammad. It's the old school of Krishna. And we have now a modern school that says, okay, you have a nice book, a nice history book about God, and this book has all these chapters. You simply have to learn all these chapters. You learn something from Krishna, you learn something from Buddha, you learn something from Jesus, and you learn something from Muhammad. And now we are modern people. We have learned all this through history. And you will have to face the complexity again. You have to face the complexity or suffer the ego of denial and repression, which leads to warfare and all kinds of misery. This is the second type of jealousy. The third type of jealousy is the direct jealousy with the person. In politics, we see this jealousy all around. Even if we say the same thing, we deny the other because we ourselves want this rule, this control. We do not trust somebody else. Why would he be better than we? In religion, we say, my prophet is the only one. My Lord is the only born son. Yeah, okay. And nobody else says that. But the same Bible says there are more sons of God than Jesus. That is what the Bible itself says in Genesis, in the old time. The sons of God came over the mountains. So son of God is a plural in the Bible itself. So, but anyhow, we understand, we know what is meant when we say there's only one son of God and that is Jesus. Okay, but Jesus is the manifestation of the fortunate one, the original Lord on earth. But who said he wasn't there before? And who said he wouldn't return? Well, Jesus himself said, I return. So we expect the coming of Christ, but he will not look the same. And if you ask the Hindus, you say, oh, that's normal. The Bhagavad Gita says, I return time and again, not just for once, but always when there's a decline of righteousness, a decline of dharma, respecting the original nature of God, when we are corrupt with our religions, when we are fighting each other, then this fortunate one descends to the earth with all his representatives. And I try to be representative of that fortunate one. And I ask you to be that representative too. Only then, if we cooperate in that endeavor of the fortunate one to be present on the earth, if we cooperate and if we recognize that God has written a magnificent book of culture covering all these different schools of respecting God, if we are of this comprehension, of this philognosy, this love of knowledge, then we are good people. Then we try to respect, like Jesus said, loving our fellow man. Then we try to respect the natural order, like Muhammad said, love the pure sun, love the pure moon. That is my mission. Please respect this. Then we are of the Buddha who says, please stop bickering, stop arguing, see the reality as it is. Live that harmony. Respect that original self, that original soul. Be peaceful. Forsake that desire. Be glad with what you have. Be glad with everything. Be happy. If we listen to Krishna, he says, give up the profit motive. Work for God, but do not desire the fruits. Do not claim any fruits. You serve God, but he's the boss. He rules. You don't own anything. You just participate in the management. But you're not the owner. The original owner is the Lord, the original person. The creator is the original proprietor of the creation. You just are allowed to use it, not to mess it up. So it is with the authority too. You serve God, but do not think you are better than the Pope. Do not think you are better than the saint. And the saint doesn't claim any property, doesn't ask any money for his prayer, doesn't ask any money for his sermon. No, he can have a sermon in the fields. He can tell it to you through the telephone or speak through me over the internet. I don't ask any money. No, I'm grateful for the money I get. I live on the dole. And I'm grateful, and I do something in return. I just work for the money, just like anybody else, but I do not desire more than I need. it's enough. I can sleep in one bed, have one meal, and people give me everything I need. So why should I want anything more? To desire more than you need, to go beyond necessity, is what defines the foolishness. And that's what we learn from Krishna. Don't be a fool. Accept your love of God and desire nothing else but to love God. And everything will be given to you. The maintainer, and that's what Krishna is supposed to represent, Vishnu, God of maintenance, he gives you anything. You're a good servant, he gives you everything you need. Hey, the peace, the means, whatever. That is his nature. Whether it's the law or not, he decides, this is what you do, this is what I want in from you as a servant. And that is what we learn from Krishna. So we have Krishna, we have Buddha, we have Jesus, we have Muhammad. We have all these teachers. So why wouldn't we be learned scholars from them? We learn from all these sages and all these great personalities of God. Whether we consider them the original Supreme Lord or not, we learn from these people. We also learn from the modern gurus, from Rinesh. We learn to be critical about politicians and about religious people. It is very controversial, but he's still the supreme philosopher of the 20th century, who told us, live the being, not the becoming. Be the love, be the wisdom. Do not try to become this. That is Rinesh. He was a rebel, and he kicked many butts in the world, and he wasn't loved for it, and he was a controversial person because he made fun of the Pope and condemned all the politicians. But we should understand him to be a friend who guides us in the self-realization process of turning away from the falsehood of jealous society, all this jealousy with God of priests and of politicians. We shouldn't be jealous. We should be devotees. We should be scientists faithful to the natural law. Yeah? Then we are also scientists of the soul, which is defined by that law. Don't be this jealous person. Don't be jealous of each other. Don't be jealous of God as a priest. Don't be jealous of the other religion who says something different, but just the same, something very valuable. Don't be jealous. Give up this jealousy with the elements, with time and energy, with the principle, not to be jealous with another religion, with another soul. Don't be jealous with the person. And the same way is it with the two other forms of jealousy. The jealousy with the past. The conservatives want to have it as it was, but it will never become as it was. We have evolved. We have learned from the 20th century. That will not return. We have made this tremendous ego trip in defiance of God, and many people became atheistic, and many people think science is opposite to religion, which is not so. It is simply the old school and the new school. They are not the same, that is so, but they are not opposite. It is simply another chapter in the same book. So you can be jealous with the past, saying, oh, in the old days everything was better, but we also learned a lot, and we can't forget that either. So it is not correct to say in the past everything was better. Some things were better, some things were worse. So now we altogether do it better now in some respects. In some other respects we have forgotten, and we do it worse than we did. Our capacity to destroy each other has increased tremendously. And we have seen horrible examples of this, and it still happens in the world. We learned to manufacture guns, and now instead of arguing and hurting each other with words, we hurt each other with these bullets. And that's very easy. It's easier than a sword. In the old days, you had to practice for a long time to manage a sword. And you had to be an expert, and that was a proof of God if you could wield the sword properly. But now a gun is easy. You just pull the trigger and the opponent is dead. Your enemy is dead. At least that's what you think. But the enemy is not a body. The enemy is the spirit. The bad spirit is your enemy. The devil is your enemy. The devil cannot be shot because it is in you. Yeah, and you cannot shoot yourself, because without your body, your spirit still will be in trouble. even because even when you, especially without a brain, you need this brain to be in control with that spirit. You cannot separate the soul from matter. It is the duality. One cannot exist without the other. The soul is the integrity of knowledge above it, and the matter is that what we know. So one is useless without the other. To all matter there's integrity, and to all integrity there's content, because that's what we call integrity, the combination of different elements into an harmonious whole, into a person, into an integrity, into an integrated something. So we have this fourth type of jealousy with the past. We shouldn't be jealous with the past. We should be wise with the past. We shouldn't say in the 18th century was everything better, or when the French nobles were still alive, everything was better, or when Germany was still noble, everything was better, and we want to return to that, or when our country wasn't infested with aliens from other countries, our culture was better for itself. No, that is all false. A false attachment to the past. You're jealous with the past. Don't be jealous with the past. Make the best of today and see what today offers. And that's followed by the fifth type of jealousy, which is the jealousy with the future. You may desire a better world and think of this better world, and from that hate everything that is there today. You can imagine yourself a better culture. We have this capacity, this human capacity, to picture a beautiful picture in the future. But it's next to impossible, really, to do that. So there's hardly a movie in the theater to be found where we are really happy, more happy than we are today. We see in all these science fiction films sometimes a world far worse than ours, even though more sophisticated technologically. So it is very difficult to think of a future which is better than today. And if we could think of such a future, then that future mustn't be an object of jealousy either, making us miserable about the day of today. Why should I be unhappy not having a plasma television or a LCD television? I have an old-fashioned tube, so what's wrong with that? In fact, technically, it is better. It is more luminous. It is just not that flat. So why should it be that flat? Or having a CD player or a gramophone player instead of playing your own music. In the old days, we sang songs to each other and had performances at home. We had our own home theater and we were the artists. So what is a better theater, a home theater, than to be a theater with yourself as an actor? So is that progress, is that better? Can we be better people than we are now if we look deep into ourselves with God and we see everything positive and good? Why should you be jealous or afraid of the future? Of course, everything will change. We will solve problems, but other problems we will not solve. And some progress always has a price. So if you have a cell phone, it's easier to have each other at a distance than to visit each other, which is a price you pay for that. And there's no need to meet each other directly as much as it was in the old days. But it has an advantage and a disadvantage. So things change, but does everything become better? So don't be jealous of the future. The future has its own problems, just like our past had its own problems. Don't be jealous of the future or the past. So this is the fourth and the fifth type of jealousy. So with all this jealousy, remember that it is wise to be of contentment, to be of the word amen. Christianity has a very nice mantra. It says amen, so be it. Astu, it means in Sanskrit. So be it. Accept the reality as it is and make the best of it. Try to be constructive in your desire, because you are bound to desire, but be constructive in that desire. Admit a mistake for the sake of the ideal that you can share. Do not deny that mistake for the sake of an ideal which you cannot share with somebody else. Because that's what you do if you start fighting the other, seeing the fault with another. That is not the honor of our shared love. So, jealousy, be careful, be constructive, desire always the better for God, and not for your ego, not for your material position, not for your honor. And do not be of false pride, do not be of greed. It is easy to say, do not this, do not that. But if you accept the things as they are, if you say amen to natural order, to the time of nature, because that's what our site is called for, the order of time, just to accept the original order of time as it is of nature, and see in the culture that, okay, we have a perverted system of time management, but okay, there's also a jailhouse. I do not propose to tear down the jailhouse either. So you can maintain that stupid system that we have. You don't have to love it. I don't love prisons, but I do not tear them down either. Some people choose to sit in prison, so let them. I do not choose to sit in prison. I don't sit in prison. So live and let live. Let everybody be happy with what he does. And some people are happy in prison, and some people are happy in nature. So let's not condemn each other for this. This is my wish for you all. And this is what I wanted to tell you today about jealousy. It has been an extra long talk. I thank you very much for your attention.